Please open your Bibles. I'll tell you where here in just a moment. Romans chapter 5. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1197. We'll read just one verse here, and then we'll turn to yet other passages after we read the third verse of the fifth chapter of Romans. We'll read the verse all in unison. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God, as is our custom here. Let's read, please. Ready? And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Turn now to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Your Scofield Bible, page 1263. Just the 24th verse. Let's read it together. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, page 1238 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read four verses here, verses 24 through 27. Likewise, we'll read these in unison. Let's read together. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Turn now for the last verse we'll be reading together, the 12th chapter of the same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, just over on the next page. Let's read the 10th verse. Ready? Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. It represents a wonderful opportunity for us to hear the preaching of a man of God. We're thankful for our preacher. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for these, our members who are present, those who are faithful and loyal. We thank you for those who visit with us. God bless this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to this preaching of Thy book. I pray You'd help me as I speak, and I pray You'd help us to learn something tonight that'll help us to be more like we ought to be and less like we have been. In Jesus' name, amen. I hesitated to preach or bring the message I'm going to bring tonight. I outlined it just before my 68th birthday, which was about 5 weeks ago. And I was going to preach it. I'm calling the message, and this is a testimony kind of a message. Let me count my blessings. And I was going to preach it on my birthday week, and as I approached 70 now, 68, I was going to preach it, and then I thought, no, it's too personal, and so I didn't. But I knew I should, and I've had it outlined now for 6-8 weeks in my file of sermons. I keep about 40 or 50 sermons all prepared, all ready to preach, and because I'm studying sermons constantly. And I didn't want to do it, but I felt like I should. And so tonight I want to speak on the subject, let me count my blessings. It's a lot of its testimony, but I do want you to hear me carefully as I speak. I look back over my life. You see, I was called to preach as a teenage lad. I was licensed to preach at the age of 19. That means I've been preaching now for 49 years. This week at the college, Brother Joe Boyd spoke, I spoke, Dr. Robertson spoke, Dr. Malone spoke. We made a total of 217 years in the ministry just between the four of us. And I've been thinking about how fortunate and how blessed that I've been. I'm not talking tonight when I say let me count my blessings. I'm not talking about the great Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. I'm not talking about the blessings we have there. Little church, my first Sunday there, Miss Isles and I were there the first Sunday, had 44 people in attendance. One year later, without ever running a bus, we had 617 on first anniversary. One year later, we had 1,180. After 3 years, we had 2,212. After 4 years, we had 3,163. I'm trying to tell you how wonderful I am. And I'm not talking about that kind of that blessing tonight of that great church in Garland. I'm not talking about the blessing of this great church for these 35 years I've been its pastor. Over 750,000 people have walked down these aisles professing faith in Christ as Savior. But I'm not talking about that tonight, though I do thank God for it. I'm not talking about sometime in early February, I will have flown my 8,000,000th mile flying across the country and around the world on jet planes, I started off there on DC-3s, the little bitty planes that bounced over the skies and landed wherever they could. I'm not talking about the 8,000,000 miles nearly that I've flown on airplanes. I'm not talking about the great college that we have here. Folks don't understand this, but not only is this church the home of it's the largest church in America and the largest Sunday school in the world, but we also have the largest independent Baptist fundamental Christian college in the world. But I'm not talking about that. And by the way, it's the kind of college that everybody used to go to years ago in America. People talk about how narrow-minded we are. It's exactly what your granddaddy went to. You say, Brother Howell, is your college, somebody said, your college looks like the 1950s. No, you're 1950 years too late. We look like when Jesus built the church. That's what we look like. You saw some of our students singing a while ago. And after we leave the Civic Center, you don't have to sweep all the dope out and the cigarette butts out and the liquor out. And I'm saying that I'm just sort of putting that in. But it wouldn't be a Sunday night without me putting that in. But the proof of the pudding is in the eating. I'm not talking about the great college. When I say let me count my blessings tonight, I'm not talking about my health. As far as I know, I'm in good health. I never go to the doctor. I don't believe in doctors. Doctors are for women, not men. But next time I go to a doctor, they call it the autopsy. But anyway, that reminds me of Maxine Jeffries. Maxine went to St. Margaret's Hospital. A fellow was going to have a biopsy the next day to see if he had cancer. Maxine's a hillbilly southern gal, still got hayseed between her toes. And she went up there and she meant to say, I understand they're giving you a biopsy tomorrow. And she said, I understand they're giving you an autopsy tomorrow. But I'm not talking about praising God tonight for my health. I do that. But that's not the purpose of this sermon tonight. I'm not talking tonight about praising God for my strength. Though I promise you, I haven't had a vacation since 1968. One of these days I'm going to take one. But I haven't had one. But I'm strong. And I work hard. And I work day and night. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking tonight about a different kind of blessing. I'm not counting the blessing tonight of over 40 books I've written and over 12 million copies have been sold. I'm not talking tonight about the 55,000 sermons I've preached in these 49 years. I'm not talking tonight about the over 800 pastors who pastor churches around the world who came from our ministry. I'm not talking about that tonight. When I say I want to count my blessings, I want to count some strange blessings tonight, and I want to thank God for them. I've been very fortunate tonight, and I want to thank God that my bed left my mother. Now, that's a strange thing to thank God for, but I want to thank God for that tonight. It gave me the opportunity to show my mother that I meant it when I said, I love you. It gave me the opportunity to stand beside my mother. It gave me the chance to work as a teenage boy to help support my mother and put food in her mouth and clothes on her body. I've been very fortunate tonight. Dr. Bob Jones III, you know, at Bob Jones University, they pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and Bob III. But at Bob Jones III, when he was in college, I was preaching down there years ago, and Bob Jones III was a student at the time, and he asked if he could drive me to the dining hall. We sat there in his car for a while, and he said, Dr. Howells, I want you to know that I envy you. And I said, why would you envy me? And he said, I envy you because your dad was a drunkard. And I could understand that. He said, my grandfather founded this university, one of the most famous evangelists in history. My father succeeded him as president of this university, and everybody expects me to do something. He said, nobody expected you to do anything, and I envy the fact that you had a chance to do something, not expected to do it, because all I can do is either disappoint or fulfill the hopes that they had for me. I want to thank God tonight. As the Apostle Paul said, he listed his adversities. He said, in perils of waters, and in shipwreck, and in being stoned, and all these things he went through, being in prison. Paul said, I rejoice in my persecution. I thank God for my tribulation, he said. As I look back over these years, I thank God tonight for my tribulation and persecution. I thank God tonight that my sister had some heartaches. She sits in the choir tonight. She's 8 years my senior. Looks like she's 25 years my senior. But she sits in the choir tonight. I thank God that one day she called me and she said that her husband had left her for another woman. And her life seemed to be at the end. I flew down to Texas. I spent all night talking with her there out in the front yard where she and my mother, where my mother lived. And we reorganized her life. I thank God that God gave me a chance to help my sister. I thank God he gave me a chance to show my love to her and help provide for her. And I still, in some capacity, help provide for her. I want to thank God tonight for my blessings. I thank God. I want to thank God. I grew up in wartime. Back in the days when America had some character, back in the days when draft dodgers went to prison instead of the White House, I want to thank God tonight. I grew up in wartime. I want to thank God that I grew up in the Depression. I want to thank God that I grew up poor. But I thank God that I grew up in wartime. You see, I had the opportunity to serve my country. I had the opportunity to see America when America was proud. And where you heard about draft dodgers, they called them conscientious objectors in those days, but you didn't know anybody that was one. And now your president talks, and he's one. Of course, Hillary would have been a better soldier than he would anyway. But I want to thank God tonight that I grew up in wartime. As I look back over my life, I want to thank God tonight for the perils and adversities and heartaches and battles and problems of life. I thank God tonight that I had to leave my Baptist convention because they did not believe that this Bible was the Word of God. And not one single coin is going to come from my pocket to support anybody's institution that does not believe that that King James Bible is inspired by God Almighty. Not one coin. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and my mouth where my money is. And I thank God tonight that I had to leave my denomination. They gave me a choice to support their liberal schools or leave, and I chose to leave. And I want to thank God tonight. I had the opportunity in so doing to join men like Charles Spurgeon and Lester Roloff and John R. Rice and J. Frank Norris, and Lee Robertson, as men who were excommunicated from their denomination because they stood for this book and the truths of this old book. I thank God as I look back over my life tonight. I thank God for my adversities. I thank God for my trials. I thank God for my burdens. And by the way, one of these days,
If you'll stand the test, you'll thank God for yours. When I was a young man, I looked at life. I saw mountains in front of me, and they looked so steep and unconquerable. As I approached those mountains, I decided not to turn and go back. I'm not like you folks that drop out of college and wash out. I'm not like you. And I saw those mountains that looked so steep and unclimbable, but I went ahead and climbed them. And I tried to weather the storm, and I tried to climb the mountains, and I tried to fight the battles. But the interesting thing about it, as I look back upon those things that were in those days, seem dangerous now that the best parts of my life. Those places that looked like they were dark, deep valleys now look like mountain peaks of blessing. And the greatest blessings of my life, as I look back, are the victories that came in the battles, and the comfort and strength that came in the heartaches and the trials and troubles. I thank God tonight that I grew up in wartime. I thank God that I left my convention and stood for the Bible. I thank God tonight that I have been attacked. You say, hold it, preacher. You think, yes, I said, I thank God that I've been attacked. Now you say, why do you thank God you've been attacked? It gave me an opportunity to love those that hate me. Anybody that knows me knows that I hate nobody. Anybody that knows me knows I'd take this shirt off my back and give it to my bitterest enemy tonight. But had I had no enemies, I couldn't have loved my enemies. Had I had nobody that attacked me, I don't get many amens when I talk about love around here. But I thank God tonight that I've been attacked. I thank God that I couldn't have turned the other cheek if I had not been hit on one cheek. I thank God because I've been attacked, I can bless those that curse me, pray for those who despitefully use me, and overcome evil with good. As I look back over these years, I say, praise God for the valleys, and praise God for the battles, and praise God for the heartaches. And I want to tell you something. Some of you folks that turn back and don't keep going, you're going to wish one of these days you'd kept going. Hey, you're going to be 68 one of these days too, and you're going to find out it's not so bad. I love being 68. I feel sorry for you folks that are 40 that don't know anything. I feel sorry for you. But I've never enjoyed life like I enjoy it now. I've never enjoyed preaching like I enjoy it now. I've never kicked as high as I kick now. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank God tonight for every tear I've shed, every battle I've fought, every heartache I've endured, because it just made Jesus that much closer to me. I look back at my life, I want to thank God that I have had battles. You know why? I couldn't have persevered if I didn't have any battles. Dr. Lee Robertson introduced me one time, and he said, he calls me Jack. And he and God can do that. But Mrs. Hiles calls me Dr. Hiles. And a few other things that are neither one of those. But Dr. Robertson said, somebody said to him, said, Brother Hiles is having some hard times. Dr. Robertson said, Jack will make it. Jack's a survivor. But you can't be a survivor if you don't have any battles. I was out in Southern California preaching, and the pastor introduced me as the toughest man he knew. And boy, I am. If you don't believe it, look at that massive strength I have. I'm simply saying that I thank God for the battles. If there are no battles, there are no victories. If there are no battles, there's no chance to persevere. If there are no battles, there's no chance to endure. If tonight you're having heartaches, just look up to God and say thank you for them. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. I thank God tonight. Not only that, but I thank God that I've had personal heartache. Had I not had personal heartache, I couldn't have learned to lean on Jesus. I couldn't take my burdens to the Lord. I couldn't cast my care upon Him. I could not have tested Romans 8:28. I thank God tonight that my friends have had some heartache, so I can stand beside my friends. Every time a friend of mine goes through a battle, it's an opportunity for me to show my friendship to him. So I thank God tonight that my friends have had some battles, so I could show my friendship. I thank God tonight that my son made some mistakes in his life. Now that may sound strange to you. When I was a young man, by the way, it's a whole lot easier to rear kids while you're young than when you get older. And wait till your kids are grown before you criticize those of us who have imperfect children. Just wait a while. Oh, I can really tell you how to rear kids when I was about 20, 25, 30 years old. But I want to say this. I stood behind this pulpit, and I said time and time again, I said, my children are my children. And I've said again and again, Dave Hiles is my boy. And I said, God forbid that it ever messes his life up and makes some mistakes, but if he ever does, he's still my boy. I'm still God's child, and nobody can pluck me out of God's hand. And I've had the opportunity to stand beside my boy when he made some mistakes. And thank God, he's serving God now, and not full-time, but in the church. But he's going to church. He's a soul winner, brings folks down the aisle every week. But I want to thank God tonight. I had an opportunity to prove what I'd preached years ago. Then I want to thank God tonight that I grew up in poverty. I had an opportunity to prove that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I had the opportunity to prove that if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. I had an opportunity to prove what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. I had the opportunity to prove what is said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. I had the opportunity to prove Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I not only get to preach it, but brother, I've been there. And I want to thank God to, and listen, don't complain because you're having a tough time. Don't complain because you got some kind of an illness. Don't complain because you're going through poverty. Don't complain because you've got heartache. Don't complain because you've got battles. The Apostle Paul looked back at his life and he said, I've been in jail. I have been stoned. I have been shipwrecked. I have been beaten. I have been hated. I have been lied about. I have been persecuted. And he said, I rejoice in my persecutions and rejoice in glory in my tribulation. I thank God tonight for my enemies. I want to thank God for how I got them. I got them because I fought the dirty liquor traffic all these years. And while we're taking while we're making all the laws on dope, why don't we take the worst dope out of our stores? Make the worst dope illegal. Why don't you take liquor, which is causes more heartache, wrecks more lives, destroys more homes? Why don't you politicians take that out of our society for a while? I sat beside the bedside of little children dying who were in car wrecks because of alcohol. I've sat beside widows and whose husbands have left them for the bottle. I'm trying to say, thank God for everybody who doesn't like me because I hate the dirty liquor traffic. Thank God for my enemies made because I'm against homosexuality. I thank God for the enemies I've made because I preach what the Bible says, that homosexuality is not a life choice. It is a S-I-N, sin. A dirty, rotten, stinking, filthy, sorry sin. And some of you ladies that let your men rear the boys for a while, we might make some men out of them. You mamas teach your boys to walk like this. And sit like this and talk like this. If your boy takes piano lessons, make him play football 2 hours every one he practices piano. You guys get some boxing gloves, take your kid down in the basement and teach him how to box. Oh, you say violence, violence. Yeah, that's what I said. When Dave was a boy, I want to teach him how to shoot a gun. Toys are us notwithstanding. I got a .22 rifle and a bale of hay. I put that bale of hay down to the end of our basement, put a target on it, and went back there to the other side of the basement, and we shot at that target on the front of that bale of hay. One night we're down there shooting at that bale of hay, and David missed the whole bale. You talk about a war zone, boy. We're ducking that thing. Ding, 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 ding. Wall to wall. I'm trying to say America needs some men again. Red-blooded men. Men of courage and men of stamina and men of perseverance and men of endurance and men of character and men of integrity and men of honor. I'm saying America needs some men. thank God for the enemies I've made fighting the homosexual traffic. I thank God for the enemies I made fighting gambling. And every time we have an election, I love you guys over here. But every time we have politicians here, I always ask them a question. If gambling is wrong, why don't you close down the bingo in the Catholic churches? I mean, okay, if gambling is against the law, enforce it. Close down the casinos. Close down the lottery. You have no right in this world to go arrest somebody in a basement of a house for gambling or betting on football games. You have no right while churches all over this area are committing the same crime and while the government commits the same crime. I mean, gambling is wrong. I don't care where you do it. Now you listen to me. I defy anybody to show me the logic in that. Let's either make it legal for the guy in the basement or illegal for the lottery. I thank God for the enemies I've made and am making. Because I stand for what America used to stand for. America used to make it illegal for anybody to gamble. America used to make it illegal for anybody to sell alcoholic beverages. All I'm saying is let's go back to the old-fashioned virtue of the United States of America. That's all I'm asking for. I thank God tonight for the heartaches and the burdens and the sorrows. I thank God tonight for the persecutions. I thank God tonight that I have an occasional memory lapse. About every 2 years, I don't know where I am. Well, actually, I know where I am, but that gets me out of trouble for being where I shouldn't be. But every 2 years or so, for about 8 hours, I lose it. Well, I haven't got much to lose, but I lose what I have. But I thank God for it, because every night when I preach, tomorrow night I'll be in Uniontown, Pennsylvania preaching, flying to Pittsburgh. I'll sit there tomorrow night before I preach, and I'll say this prayer a dozen times. Dear Lord, don't let me ruin this service. I need your help tonight. I thank God that I have some kind of a problem in my life, an infirmity that makes me every time I preach cry out to God to give me help. Makes me depend on Him. I thank God tonight that my daddy was a drunkard. He gave me the opportunity to be closer to Jesus as a child and teenager, and gave me the opportunity to hate with a passion the dirty bottle. I'm talking about beer. I'm talking about wine. I'm talking about martinis. I'm talking about anything that'll cause your mind not to be what it ought to be. I thank God tonight that my two sisters went to heaven, each at the age of 7. Before I was born, little Hazel died. She was afflicted, never walked or talked, never said mommy. My sister did not, you didn't know, I mean Lorraine, you didn't know Lorraine, did you? Then when Lorraine died at 7, from being afflicted, spastic child, so forth, then Hazel was born, healthy child. My sister knew her. Hazel had measles when she was 7. They thought she was getting over them. She looked up at my mother. My mother picked her up in her arms one day, thought she was getting well. And Hazel said, Mother, I feel like I'm going up in the air to be with Jesus. And she went to heaven just like that. I thank God that they did, because I got to see a courageous woman. I got to see a woman who had a little store she and her husband owned in Italy, Texas. And the store closed because of the Depression. I got to see a woman whose husband was an alcoholic. I got to grow up the knees of a woman that walked 2 miles every day to a public school, worked in a lunchroom behind a steam table, 50 cents a day, and walked 2 miles back. I got to see a little lady who had character and courage and fortitude. Not the cigarette-sucking kind. Not the martini-sipping kind. Not the soap opera-watching kind. But the Bible-reading kind. The praying kind. The kind that our mothers used to be in America. I thank God tonight for the burdens. I thank God tonight Miss Hiles and I had to tough it. I'm talking about this Miss Hiles up here. There's only one Miss Hiles. Boy, it wasn't that big of me. But anyway, we got married, had $200. I borrowed that. We didn't have a shower. We didn't even have a sprinkle. I mean, not a drop. We got married. We didn't have one saucepan. We didn't have one skillet. We didn't have one glass. We didn't have one spoon. We didn't have one knife. We didn't send to everybody and register with Carson Perry and Scott what kind of china we wanted. We registered with Libby's pickle jars. And Reese's peanut butter. But I want to thank God. Listen to me. I want to thank God tonight for the fact we had to tough it as a couple of kids. We got married. I was 7. She was 4. Just a couple of kids. But I want to thank God tonight for the fact we had to tough it. We had a little honeymoon. Went to Indiana Harbor. But we didn't have a honeymoon. It wasn't even a jelly moon. It wasn't any moon at all. And I was a paratrooper at the time. We got on the bus to go to Fort Bragg, Fayetteville, North Carolina, where I was being transferred from Fort Benning, Georgia to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Got on the train. Had $29 in my pocket. That's all. Didn't get paid for 3 months. Say, what'd you live on? Lived on love. That's why we starved to death. But now we could live on it. But anyway, I had $29. We're about 50 miles out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Ms. Hiles looked at me, just a teenage girl. She said, how much money you got? I said, $29. She said, didn't we have 200 we got married? I said, that's right. She said, did you tithe off that 200? I said, we borrowed that. You don't tithe on what you borrow. She said, we do. We start our home off right with her in charge. She said, we do. She said, we're not going to start our marriage robbing God. She asked me for that $29, and I obeyed, as I've done through these years. She took a $20 bill, put it in an envelope, and addressed it to the Hillcrest Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, and went up and put it in a little post office box up there in the front of the airplane, and we had $9 left. And we lived on $9 for 3 months. I thank God. Nobody gave us a dowry. We know what I still know what a dowry is. I think it's a whole lot of money you give to folks to spoil them rotten. But anyhow, nobody gave us a dowry. Nobody gave us a shower. We didn't get our china. We didn't get our crystal. Our first little play. Are you crying yet? Our first little place was one room. Mr. and Ms. Ward's house. Paid $7 a week for it. No kitchen. No hot plate. Couldn't cook. Say, what'd you eat? We ate pecans that dropped off the tree in the backyard. You could cry. Act like you're sad here. And then we found a place for rent where we had a kitchen to share with 8 other couples. We had one room, 6 by 12. You had to make the bed up. You had to crawl across it, make it up over here on this side, and crawl back over and make it up on this side. room of 6 by 12. Had two bathrooms down at the end of the hall. 9 couples shared those 2 bathrooms. And 9 couples shared the kitchen. And some of you college wives complain. We got 3 kids in just 2 bedrooms. I thank God the next place we went to was a 2-room apartment. We had our own bathroom. Are you listening? But we didn't have a kitchen. Ms. Howes had washed the clothes in the bathtub. Wring them out, put them beside the bathtub, put the water back, rinse water back in, put them back in there and rinse it, wring them out, go downstairs and hang them up on a line. I want to thank God I didn't grow up in the Nintendo generation. I grew up when our toys were tires you rolled down the street. And spinners you got out of a clock that was broken. And cars you made by yourself. And scooters you made out of old skates that weren't working anymore. I know what you're saying, yeah? You old people always talk like that. Yeah, and we get a kick out of it and we aim to keep on doing it. I thank God I had to work. Had I not been hit, I could not have turned the other cheek. Had I not been hated, I could not have loved those who hate me. Had I not been reviled and persecuted and lied against, I could not rejoice and be exceeding glad, as I'm reminded to do in Matthew chapter 5. Had I not been cursed, I could not have blessed those that cursed me. Had I not been despitefully used, I could not have prayed for those that despitefully used me. Had I not been attacked, I could not overcome evil with good. Had I not had enemies, I could not love my enemies. Had I had no cares, I couldn't have cast my cares upon Him. Had I had no burdens, I couldn't have taken my burden to the Lord and left it there. If I had no enemies, I couldn't have loved my enemies. If I had no tribulation, I couldn't have rejoiced in tribulation. Had I had no Patmos, I could have had no vision. Had I had no stoning, I could have had no Jesus on the right hand of the Father. If there is no Bethel, there are no angels of protection going up and down Jacob's ladder. If there is no Gethsemane there and no Calvary, there is no resurrection. If there is no Lystra, there is no third heaven. If there is no infirmity, there's no way to glory in infirmity. If there's no loneliness, there's no unseen captain beside the city of Jericho. If there's no wilderness, there's no pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night to guide. If there's no fiery furnace, there's no Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and no Son of God with them in the fiery furnace. If there's no Red Sea, there's no parting of the waters. If there's no desert, there's no manna from heaven. If there's no Calvary, there's no empty tomb. If there's no Armageddon, there's no millennium. If there's no lion's den, there are no Daniels. The world would have never heard of Job had it not been for tribulation. The world would never know the name Esther had it not been for tribulation. The world would never have heard Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's names had it not been for the fiery furnace. The world would not know who John Bunyan was had it not been for 12 years he spent in the Bedford jail. The world would never have known Latimer and Ridley had they not been burned at the stake. Or David Livingston had he not been persecuted in Africa. Or Ann, Ned, and Iram Judson, if they hadn't given up their lives and gone to Burma and buried their first child in Burmese soil and buried the second child in Burmese soil and then buried, Adoniram Judson buried Ann Judson in Burmese soil. I want to say tonight I feel sorry for you folks that never have had it tough. John Rice was not made in Baylor University. He was made when he was excommunicated from the Tarrant County Baptist Association. Charles Spurgeon was not made in the Seminary of London. He was made when he was excommunicated from the Baptist Convention of London and 7 people voted for him. Lee Robertson was not made in Southern Seminary where he attended. He was made when he stood alone in the Hamilton County Baptist Association. Lester Olof was not made in Baylor University or Southwestern Seminary where he attended. He was made when he was attacked by the state of Texas when he said, the state will not license our Christian home, our orphanage. John Bunyan was not made in college. He was made in the Bedford jail, where there are no battles, there are no victories. Where there is no fear, there's no courage. Where there is no endurance, there's no perseverance. Where there is no struggle, there's no overcoming. Where there is no reversals, there are no challenges. Where there is no war, there is no toughness. Where there is no cause, there's no loyalty. Where there is no bereavement, there's no comfort. Where there is no bondage, there's no Patrick Henry saying, give me liberty or give me death. Where there is no slavery, there's no Abraham Lincoln to free the slaves. Where there is no pain, there's no endurance. Where there is no death, there's no resurrection. Where there is no opposition, there's no conquering. Where there is no sin, there's no Savior. Where there's no Goliath, there's no David. I close with this. I was in the paratroopers when World War II ended. I was in the first in the 101st Airborne Division, then I was in the 82nd Airborne Division. I never saw any combat. But this is strange. I wanted to. Those of us who were trained to fight and never got to fight were disappointed the war was over. We wanted to get in the action, just like Clinton did. I'd vote for Charlie Brown before I'd vote for him. I'd vote for Garfield before I'd vote for him. But when the war was over, the fellows who saw combat were with the same barracks, those of us who didn't. Here's a fellow who would limp in to the barracks waiting his discharge. Like that. Here's a fellow would reach out and show us a finger that was lost in battle. Here's a fellow would show us an arm that was amputated on the battlefields. And they came one by one to show us their battle scars. And I'll be quite frank with you. I envied them. I envied them. In my ministry, in these 49 years of being a licensed preacher and 40 going on 47 years of pastoring, in my ministry, I have some scars. And I thank God for every one of them. And as an old man looks back tonight on his life, another year and 6 months, another year and 10 months, and about 3 weeks, I will have served my 70. When I first started off, everybody preached like this. When I first started off, Methodist preachers preached like I preached tonight. When I first started off, Presbyterian preachers just preached like I preached tonight. When I first started preaching, Lutheran preachers preached like I preached tonight. Nazarene preachers, charismatic preachers, they all believed this book back in those days. We didn't agree on what it meant. We all agreed on where it came from. As I look back tonight, I meant to do this on my birthday. I just want to praise God for the adversities. And join the Apostle Paul who said, I rejoice in tribulation. I rejoice in my sufferings. The old apostle in the prison, they sharpened the guillotine for him. It's time for him to say, as he writes to the beloved Timothy, time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. And as they come to get him, and lead him down to the guillotine, the apostle picks up his pen in the damp Mamertine prison. And he begins to write. He doesn't rejoice about nice restaurants he ate in. He doesn't rejoice. Doesn't even tell us about any great revivals he had. He never says, I rejoice in great churches I built. Never said that. Though I'm sure he did. But as he looked back over his life and as he walked down to the sharp knife and the sharp sword of the guillotine, the Apostle Paul looked back at his life and said, I thank God for the valleys. I thank God for the heartaches. I thank God for the problems. I thank God for the sorrows. I thank God for the imprisonment. Because that's what made him what he was. Tonight, if your husband has cancer, find some way to rejoice in the presence of God through the trial. Tonight, if your husband's left you to rear the children alone, you look at those children and try to rejoice that God's going to make those children one day thank Him for the sufferings and heartache of life. If tonight you've walked away from the silent city of the dead and left the one you love the most feet beneath the ground, and you walk back to an empty table, an empty bed, empty place at the table, empty chair and a picture up on the hearth, you just thank God His grace is sufficient. And I'll promise you this. Most of you are too young to know this right now. But I promise you this. When you get 68 years of age, doctor, you'll thank God for the battles. You'll thank God for the heartaches. You'll thank God for the lonely nights. You'll thank God for the tears. You'll thank God for the enemies. You'll thank God for the reversals. And so tonight, you just sort of listened in while an old man thanked God for His ministry. How good He's been to me. I love Him tonight, and I want to please Him. Whatever years I have left. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You tonight for adversity. I want to thank You for battles. I can't say that I've ever enjoyed looking toward one. I can't say I've ever enjoyed being in one. But I've never had one or didn't appreciate when it's over. I pray tonight You'd help people that are going through it right now. I'm not asking the people tonight to enjoy their adversity. I'm asking them to realize that one day they'll look back and they will.